Zalango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Saturday, November 17, 2001 at 11:30 p.m. entitled The Human Rights Patrol Part 18, U.S. Propaganda. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka and Bana Kentaco. Have a pleasant flight.
Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt.
teeth. Knows his lights can't help him. True star weapon will collect. We're talking reparations. That's right, we know we are old. Cause for 11 generations in here we were bought in. So see, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves. His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay. The lesson, the mind, know thyself will help us all move forward. We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch. Like those days we were to beat down, yet unhooked from our souls. Seeking truth will turn that around with the human rights patrol.
People's Choice, Human Rights Radio. Giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,533rd night of broadcasting in the place to be with we out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, as war correspondent commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, Dada Kanati Kentako and Zalango to you over there. Zalango. It's time for, oops, I got your microphone on. Is you on too?
Oh, yeah.
My goodness gracious. She is on too. Zalango to you again.
Zalango.
And it's time for part 18 of the Human Rights Patrol. We begin by giving a shout out to those stations that have the nerve to play the Human Rights Radio co-creation, the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise called the United States and across the planet Earth. And Kanati, want to give those shout outs to those folks?
Okay, first let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio, 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yuhuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina. And the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, run by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett in the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the Real Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
Well, thank you very much, sister, for that. Those shout outs to those stations down the line there. And well, before you get away, we're going to talk about propaganda, U.S. propaganda in this here installment of Human Rights Patrol. And one of the best examples of it to me, how we've been propagandized into another zone of thinking about how we're going to deal with our situation in this country, African people, is found in this here particular publication. It's an academic publication. I'm going to have Kanati give y'all the vitals because I might not get it all right, but I want to make sure that she, before she gets away, she does that, and then we'll get into some other things about that. You got that urinal over there? It's called the...
Urinal of American History, Volume 74, Number 4, March 1988, and the section is called The Early History of Cleanliness in America by Richard L. Bushman and Claudia L. Bushman.
And you know, and it's here. Thank you very much. And we'll talk with you later on when you come back to get remind the folks of the stations that are sharing this program with them throughout the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth by FM and Internet, right? Thank you very much. Now, keep that particular publication in mind, because there's a quote in there. It's a frightening thing to read, man, because it surely lets you know that these folks are certainly capable in this land of saying anything and doing anything, and they don't have to have anything to do with each other. I mean, it can be totally disconnected. It's best bore out in the, well, so many examples in that particular thing, and I've read a lot of things, and nothing has kind of confirmed where we're headed with me more than this here particular thing. I invite you to get a chance, read it, okay? And we'll get Kanati to give you the vitals on it again before we get done. But that's not going to be the focus of the a program tonight. We're going to use some tape from a program that come on Good White Source called Myth America. It's been on the cable channels quite a bit. I first came aware of it on a Learning Channel. Then it went over to Discovery Criminalization Channel, and it's been on, you know, it's probably no telling where it is now, but it doesn't last but about 24 episodes, and they deal with different things that folks have been played on. But what I was saying about that urinal of American history, that there's a quote in there from a cat by the name of Jan Wesley, and everybody's probably heard the quote. It's cleanliness is next to godliness. And actually, what he was talking about, he really wasn't talking about taking a bath. He's talking about the clothes you wear. That's right. And man, it's right there. You can read that, man. And you know, who would have ever thought that? You know, that you would be running around and you got to see the condition that they was in back then, man. It's a terrible situation. And think about the pilgrims, because this cat was running around, you know, 1700s. The pilgrims was in worse shape than that. But you think about how we never thought about the things that you'll find in there in terms of how lack of cleanliness there was in this land. It's so easy for them to game us, man, you know, trick us, you know. And you remember the boy Hitler? Okay. I know the Bushes do. I know they do because they help finance him. His daddy's Prescott Bush, Senator Prescott Bush, had three businesses taken from him by the Congress for dealing with Adolf Hitler. But I remember they said Hitler said the Kaiser didn't lose World War I. The Kaiser got beat in the propaganda game. Okay. And I was laughing in the fall of 2001 when I heard that Hollywood is going to help G.W. Littlebush, you know, bomb Africa. Afghanistan is Africa. Don't let them trip with you, because 80% of the minerals that they get for this country's stuff, they get from Africa. So, you know, all the war is about Africa. You dig? It's since the 1455 paper bull laid down by the Catholic Church. And can't nobody tell us that know the truth different, because the evidence is there. It speaks to what we're talking about. Well, anyhow, they've been using propaganda to kind of like mess everybody over. You know, like if you just take the fact that, like, I think whites might represent like one out of 11 on the planet. You couldn't tell it from the media, though, could you? And so they've used that on us really good. And I like what Phil Valentine said. Now, that's electroshock therapy right into the consciousness, you know, that television tube. And they have used it. Stalin used it back in the day. He used to drag big old movie screens around the countryside in Russia. And don't trip on that Russian thing, because remember Anthony Sutton? He's got a series of books on that whole trip with that Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution and a whole bunch of other books in a series he did on that. We thank Terrence Jackson, author of the book Putting It All Together, World Conquest, Global Genocide, and African Liberation, for that information. And get that Anthony Sutton stuff, and you'll see that whole Russian thing was a lie anyway. It's like Bin Laden, you know what I'm saying? It's a reason to spend some money. Well, we're going to start dealing with propaganda, U.S. propaganda, and we've talked about that up to now, but we're going to give you some good white sources on the subject, beginning with this program called Myth America and how they propagandize y'all from the get-go.
Ladies and gentlemen, for your viewing pleasure, the sights and sounds of news happenings from around the world.
Newsreels, they brought us news from around the world. But unbeknownst to most people, a lot of the footage was faked. San Francisco earthquake footage was shot in New York City. European battle scenes were shot in West Orange, New Jersey. Nazi radio broadcasts were filmed in Hoboken, New Jersey. Sometimes the newsreels use actors to impersonate presidents. The newsreels, not what they seem to be. Before television, before radio, millions of Americans got their news from the newsreels. Hi, can I have a ticket?
Sure.
Here you go.
Thanks.
The newsreel companies are dead and gone now. March of Time, Biograph, Vitagraph, all gone. But from the Spanish-American War to the Vietnam War, they did help keep Americans informed about the world.
5 years old and Colina Sue, 2.5, are a big help to Mother Luella, who is no mean hand with a handful of knives. Connie Ann is a veteran at being a target for her mother's cutlery and doesn't turn a hair at Ma's cut-ups, even though Ma's pretty sharp with the cleavers.
They certainly weren't highbrow. One humorist called them a series of catastrophes followed by a fashion show.
First and the flagship. It's dragging terrible. Oh, the humanity.
My, she has originality or something.
But they did include a lot of dramatic footage. Most of the time, filmmakers use actual footage of real events. But sometimes, even more than sometimes, quite often, they use fake footage. In some of their early efforts, the result was almost comical. This was how they reenacted the eruption of a volcano in the Caribbean in 1902, which killed 30,000 people. Here's the volcano smoking. Here's the volcano exploding. Not very convincing. It so happens, in this case, filmmakers didn't pretend the pictures were real. Nobody thought they were. The pictures were more like illustrations, what you might find in the family newspaper. But much of the time, when filmmakers staged events, they pretended their clips were authentic, and audiences, quite frequently, believed that they were. The faking of news events began with the Spanish-American War in 1898. In those days, theater exhibitors made a show out of individual news clips. A typical program during the war included an orchestra playing patriotic music, film clips of battles, and a filmmaker's eyewitness account of the events shown on the screen. It was very stirring stuff and brought in huge audiences, helping rescue the film industry from a deep slump. But much of the footage, the eyewitness accounts, the visuals, much of it was faked. Take this footage of the battleship Maine.
Of the sinking of the Maine in Havana Harbor in 1897, stirred the American people to declare war on Spain.
It was faked. To find out the story behind this fakery, we went to Yale historian Charles Musser, who's written the definitive history of early films.
The International Film Company, which went out of business very shortly after the Spanish-American War got underway, offered a film of the battleship Maine for sale. The only thing was it was a film of its sister ship, you know. So actually, it looked like the battleship Maine. So at least that part was more or less authentic. But it wasn't the battleship Maine. By that point, the Maine, of course, was sunk in Havana Harbor.
Footage of the Maine sinking was fake, too. Only a still photographer managed to get the picture. Film historian Rick DeCroy teaches students how to detect fakery.
But there's no footage of the actual Maine going down, just because what cameraman's going to have time to pull out a camera and start filming as the ship is, you know, is going down?
Footage of Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders coming to the support of the infantry was also faked. So, for that matter, was footage of the Rough Riders taking San Juan Hill. Another fake. Cameramen were sent to the front to film what was happening in Cuba, but they were rarely in a position to shoot anything dramatic. So they kind of staged things. The film of the Battle of Santiago, which took place in Cuba, was faked. Filmmaker E.H. Ahmet staged the battle in the bathtub. This is the very picture that proves it.
He quickly shot these almost interchangeable scenes of these toy boats and that would, with little gunpowder on them, that would explode to create this illusion of guns being fired, and filmed them against a backdrop and then offered them for sale. And they were quite popular.
Film of the Battle of Manila, produced by the Biograph team of Blackton and Smith, faked, as Smith himself revealed in this candid tell-all autobiography.
All right, quiet down, boys. Rolling, please. Action.
Let me see a little more leg, ladies.
We're used to the idea of the movies staging events today. It's all part of Hollywood's magic. But at the time of the Spanish-American War, there was no Hollywood. So where were the stage scenes staged? This is where many of the fake battle scenes were fought, in the industrial heartland of America at the turn of the century. in New Jersey. New Jersey. The man behind the fakes, the man who made New Jersey the scene of many of these fake battles, was inventor Thomas Edison.
Edison's discoveries touched every phase of society, yet self-importance never got in his way.
Who is credited with establishing the motion picture business.
And of course, Edison stole a lot of the work of many black inventors, you know what I mean? Granville T. Woods, you know what I mean? And others, Elijah McCoy. I mean, that's all he was. Edison was a thief. But you see, and you can tell this to the American population, and they'll say, oh, that's no big deal. Well, what does that prove? That proves that, you know, first of all, you got to be some chumps. You got to be some chumps, man. Why are you going to let your children go get killed in some situations that are basically nothing but Hollywood productions with death involved? You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to argue with you. All our responsibility is to bring you the information. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you ain't. But once you do, the responsibility on you.
This is one of Edison's films. It supposedly shows the advance of Kansas volunteers in the Philippines during the war. It was shot in New Jersey. This is another of Edison's films. It supposedly shows the Red Cross rescuing U.S. troops wounded during trench warfare in the Philippines. It, too, shot in New Jersey.
No way. No way.
Yeah, these were all filmed in West Orange, New Jersey, in the Orange Mountains, just a mile or two from the from Edison's laboratory. And his cameraman hired the local New Jersey National Guard and took them up there and you know bought some you know rented some uniforms and put you know half of them in one set of uniforms, half in another, and you know and then they sort of let them go at each other.
Today at Edison's New Jersey laboratory, they neglect to mention his role as the preeminent faker of news film footage in the Spanish-American War. But Edison himself apparently had no qualms about the phony footage.
Edison was someone who would do any number of things to make a buck.
Ours invent to obtain money to go on inventing.
So being, you know, playing with representation was not a problem for him or for his employees.
Inventions had brought Edison great wealth, but to him, money was only the means to an end.
Most of us have the impression Edison was a kindly old gentleman inventor.
You are watching genius, the tremendous combination of ability, foresight, and perseverance that characterized Edison the man.
He wasn't. He was a two-fisted, high-powered businessman who tried repeatedly to drive his rivals in the film business out of business, sometimes through unscrupulous means.
In order to get his to defend his patents, Edison was willing to move dates around by a few years. Claims that he was had developed the process several years earlier than he actually had. I mean, he was not the most honest fellow in the world.
So if it took faking battles to make a buck, Edison did it. Of course, as we've seen, he wasn't alone. It may not be an excuse, but everybody did it, and they kept doing it. Stage footage drew in audiences and made money. In 1899, filmmakers reenacted the battles of the Boer War in New Jersey. In 1901, they reenacted the execution of Leon Czolgosz, the assassin who killed President William McKinley. And then in 1906, they brazenly reenacted the worst natural disaster in American history up to that time, the San Francisco earthquake and fire. Pretend for a moment, it is 1906, and what has just happened? The San Francisco earthquake and fire. Now, people have seen the headlines, but they want more. They want to be able to see the disaster. See the buildings falling down. See human beings coping with all this misery. Now, just keep pretending. You're a filmmaker, and what you want to do is bring home to the American public the pictures and the feelings of this disaster. You also, frankly, want to cash in on the disaster. There's only one problem. You're in New York City. The disaster's in California. So what to do? I'll tell you what you do. You rent a studio on East 14th Street in New York City, and you stage the whole thing. Stage the whole disaster. Recreate it.
and pass it off as the real thing.
And there was always that desire to sort of film the moment of destruction. And so what happened at the Biograph studio was that, you know, the crew built a quite elaborate miniature of San Francisco and then, you know, burned it to the ground and filmed it.
We know how they did it because someone had the chutzpah to take this picture of the reenactment.
Now. We can go on, but time won't allow us to keep going on with this particular edition of the Human Rights Patrol. But do you kind of get it? You get it? You know what I'm saying? Do you get it? They don't really care about the truth up in this land. You can tell them what the truth is. They'll look right at you and say, well, and what else? They don't need no propaganda. They'll use it as an excuse to be, the, you know, what they about up in here. And it's obvious it's that way because look at the way they got things divided up. And, you know, ain't nobody really addressing this thing. So, you know, when you hear people wondering about if the media is with you or the media, what do you think they brung it for? They brung it to shape opinion and to take the chumps and sanction them being chumps. Oh, you know, you can think these things are real because we're going to give you the video to help you trick the kids into thinking it's real, even though you know in the truth it ain't real. All right, we're gonna get out of here for this edition of the Human Rights Patrol, and we're gonna call upon Dada Kanati to come back in and share and give a shout out to those stations that make this program possible. Again, Zalango to your sister.
Zalango.
And for those of y'all want to know, Zalango means come let us co-create something beautiful out of love and truth. And co-create means we're gonna have our creator right in the mix. Everything centered around what we've learned about what our creator wants us to do. You know what I'm saying? Now, if that's a trip for you, you're probably going to have trouble getting your human rights, okay? But that's how we say, we greet everybody. Come, let us co-create something beautiful out of love and truth. That means we ain't going to do nothing. We ain't going to talk without the creator in the mix. So you know, everything going to have to be above board. You dig what I'm saying? And so you want to get a shout out to those stations that make this program possible?
We want to say Zalango to Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Uhuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina. And the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM. Human Rights Radio, brought by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, brought by Paul Griffin and the crew. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
We've been running, kicking it here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield since 1987. So if you'd like to hear more of the programming we have here at Human Rights Radio, contact those folks who make the Human Rights Patrol possible for you to hear. And let them know you want more Human Rights Radio because you want to know where the real deal coming from. So, Kanati, again, thank you. And again, the program is U.S. Propaganda. We're in our 4,533rd night of broadcasting here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, 106.5 FM Human Rights Radio. And a reminder that you're listening to the people's choice because the people choose to listen to the Human Rights Information Network.
We will remember the humanity.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We'll have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We'll be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
Study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect.
We'll struggle to resurrect.
And unify our homeland.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation.
We will raise many children for our nation.
We will have discipline.
We'll have discipline.
Patience.
Devotion.
And courage.
We will live as models.
To provide new direction for our people.
We will be free and self-determinate.
We are African people.
Aluta.
Continua.
Kufala.